guys.
So we've got some bad news.
So as you may have seen in the title, this podcast is going to be about Shane Carruth. And so going into this podcast, we, just being the idiots we were, didn't research any recent updates on the gentleman. Not gentleman so much, actually. But
the fucker.
Yeah, this motherfucker. Going into this, we wasn't aware of the correct allegations of, or proven correct allegations of sexual assault and of domestic violence. So just know that we didn't know that, but we do discover it at the very end, and it's a very, very funny moment.
Yeah.
We got egg on our face for sure.
But we'll talk about it later.
Listen to the podcast. And yeah, no, fuck him and pirate his movies. That's all we got to say, so enjoy the episode.
Bye for now.
I'm Stella Drew Sheldon.
And I'm Graham Wheeler Nelson.
And you are listening to
Anything But Spielberg.
And this week we're doing another micro episode. And if you're listening to this, you've probably seen the other one. But we're doing two micro episodes on Shane Carruth and Sad Few Brothers. We're doing two micro episodes on the Safety Brothers and Shane Carruth, and this is our Shane Carruth episode.
Congrats, guys. You made it. You made it.
I feel like nobody's going to listen to this one.
I feel like they will just out of, like, curiosity.
Yeah, who the fuck is that guy?
This guy's got a cool name.
Yeah.
But honestly, he's probably one of my favorite directors.
Yeah.
That, I mean, in general, that we've covered so far, ever. And so this one's going to be a good one, guys.
Which I find so interesting, like, your love for him, because he does, like, all sci-fi movies, and you're not the biggest sci-fi fan.
I don't know. I think I kind of like sci-fi. I love Black Mirror. I think the first few seasons of Black Mirror were really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, what's other sci-fi? What sci-fi do you think I don't like?
I feel like you don't like hard sci-fi stuff.
Like Dune?
Yeah. Like, I feel like, you didn't like Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah, no. I thought it was kind of douchey, like, but I don't know.
I love Blade Runner.
I like the visuals. Like, I like how it looks, but I don't know.
We should do a Denis Villeneuve episode. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. He's done a ton. He's very prolific.
Ooh, maybe next week.
Oh, hey. Ooh. Hey.
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 But yeah, this is sci-fi done so right, in my opinion. And it's like, not only, because I think we talked about last episode, we talked about how the Safdie brothers really play into genre really well, mm-hmm. and really sort of play it up, like, do it legitimately. And I think Shane Carruth is maybe the pinnacle of that, or maybe even beyond that.
I would say he does, like, the opposite.
Yeah.
Because it's more about the drama and the intimacy and the emotions. Because where I feel like normal, like, stereotypical sci-fi is, like, detached from that and more about, like, the technicality and, like, the grandiose drama.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to say he does it really well.
Yeah,
and that it's, like, not a good genre movie, but it takes a genre and does something that, like, you don't really see that often. He really tones it down and focuses on the humans and the humanity.
Yeah, so
let's do a little biography.
We also couldn't find much about Shane Carruth because,
he's a
mysterious man. So he was born in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Interesting. On January 1st, New Year's.
That's auspicious.
1972.
Oh. My cousin is a New Year's baby. He says he can feel when snow is coming.
What?
That's what we all say. We're like, fuck you. He's like, no, I'm a New Year's baby.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what we all say.
So he attended Stephen F. Austin State University as a mathematics major. That's fascinating.
That's insane. Like, imagine being a math major and that being your life is just doing math.
And because he was studying to become a flight simulation software developer.
Yeah, he was like a hardcore engineer.
And like, I guess maybe that, like, I mean, you can see how that inspired Primer.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, very real, like, would you call that hard sci-fi?
Yeah, but it's, like, it's very technical.
Yeah,
a lot of it's
technical.
Very technical.
And, like, once I've seen it a few times and, like, I get kind of the gist of what they're talking about, kind of, where it's, like, oh, like, they're talking about this and then this. I don't know.
Insane take. what if Shane Carruth was like such a good engineer, he actually made a time machine, but he was like, ethically, instead of making a working time machine that people could use, I could just make a movie about why we shouldn't be using time machines.
But he really used a time machine yeah. in the movie. Like, what if he didn't?
That's why it's so confusing.
Just, it wasn't just editing.
No.
He just really did it.
It was actual. He like gave himself like brain damage. Dude, that's fucked up.
But like in a lot of sci-fi movies, I guess the dialogue is very cheesy and made up, and it's like, oh, the hyperdrifter and the Galactimus Maximus. It's like, fuck you, fuck off. Like, this isn't real. But here it's very like grounded, I feel like. And
yeah.
It's technical, like you said.
So what would you say are your impressions of his work overall?
I really like it. I think it really strikes that chord in you where it's like, it's a movie where once you watch it, you want to make movies, and it's just so like, and then it doesn't give you the, I'm never going to make anything better than this vibe.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of movies that you watch do give you that vibe where it's like, oh, this is so good. It's and like, I'm never going to do anything better than this.
This makes me want to just curl up in a hole.
But with Primer especially, it was made with like $7,000.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, that is insanity.
No, it's
bonkers. And just like to read like what it was like on set, and like they only shot like 2 extra minutes. Like the shooting ratio was
And it's important to note that Shane Carruth stars and directs, writes, DPs for, and does the score for all of his movies. Like a madman.
That's insane. He doesn't set a good example. Like, nobody else should do that.
I was joking the other day that, like, so Shane Carruth has, like, a casting call, and you, like, get cast, and you're really excited to be in this new movie. You really like his work and stuff, and you show up to set, and it's just him, like, running back and forth. Like, it's literally just him in the room. There's nobody else.
And he's like, no, you don't understand. This is me from the future, and I did it another time. And
he's like, okay, I'm going to add it now. I'm going to go over there into the camera, and I'm going
to
adjust the sound.
Okay, see, now what I want you to do is to do this, and I'll just do me, okay? Don't worry about you. I'll just do me, okay?
Like, how coked up did he have to be to do all of that?
Like, that's got to be fucking nuts.
No, I don't understand how a person can achieve that. That's like, insane.
Like I commend him for it and all that. Like, and he makes a good movie for it.
Like, you don't like.
Yeah, but no, don't. And nobody else do that. Like, don't take it as an example.
Yeah, no, don't fucking do that.
And don't like people do that with the auteur where they're like, oh, pure auteur.
Yeah, it's representing his like everything.
It's his pure vision, man.
Which, like, yeah, but, like,
but
also,
film is a collaborative medium.
You're absolutely right. It completely
like,
full is.
Full stop. That end of sentence.
Fuck yeah. you're literally right. It is. And I think that's, like, what makes it. I mean, because there's good moves. And I'd say, to some extent, Shane Carruth's movies fall in this category. They're amazing movies, and I like them so much, but I wouldn't say that they're, like, I don't know how much I'd recommend them to others.
No, definitely.
Because it's like, you have to be specifically interested in that kind of like filmmaking. Whereas like, I mean, I think there's like a lot of really good movies that are like classics that can be widely enjoyed. And I think that's like heavily due to how collaborative those pieces are.
Yeah. This is like, it's not one of those like movies or directors where you're like, oh, hey, you guys know what we should watch tonight? We should watch Upstream Color. Like, as the movie night. Like, no, you watch this alone and you appreciate it for art's sake. Like,
But there's such a beauty to, like, movies like that where I'm no, I need to watch this on my own and,
it's
like live
it's
it.
That deep, like, film major, like art.
Like, Shame? You can't watch that movie with people.
But it's so good. It's so beautiful. It's a great
episode.
Movie. Oh, yeah. That'd be a good episode.
Just that kind of concept is very cool. So I said that they focused on just like general themes that I noticed because it's kind of hard to notice themes because of how confusing their movies are, but just general intimacy, ego, and like loss of control or bodily autonomy. Cause like, I think that's bigger in Upstream Color than Primer, but it like just the idea of like your focus on how to, utilize or like control others being like a tool of corruption, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I was going to say just like connection to other people and like, especially in Upstream Color, it was a lot more about like love and relationships. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in Primer, it was very much like isolation and like it was, but reclusation.
Like, there is like that like friendship theme sort of yeah, like yeah. with like, betrayal and like
it, and like I thought that was really interesting because I like when I first watched it I was like, man, this is so deep. Like, I don't even understand it. Like,
the realized the heater was going that whole time.
It's fine. The audition has noise reduction. Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry, podcast.
It's fine. But when I watched it today, it was like, it was kind of basic. Like, the friendship, like, whole subplot. Like, it was, like, I loved it. Like, don't get me wrong. But it was like, oh, they were best friends in the beginning. And then the time machine drove their friendship apart. It's like, okay, yes, I get it. But it's
I feel like it's fine because their plot is so complex, like complex as a plot could be. Yeah. That having like that arc be kind of basic is fine.
Oh yeah. And like this is like the seventh time I'm watching it, and it's the first time I'm feeling that it's like
you can with both of these movies, you can watch them endless times and still not understand it, but that's kind of the point, and it's kind of okay.
Yeah, I watched them both today, and I didn't understand them at all, but I loved them.
But I feel like they're both very, like, some movies...
I picked up more stuff. Like, I keep picking up stuff.
Some movies are ambiguous for ambiguity's sake. Like, Tree of Life I like, but it definitely does this.
Yeah, yeah.
And whereas I feel like... It's not necessarily that Shane Crute's films are ambiguous, but more of like distorted and like flipped in a way that makes it harder for you to understand. But it's not that the stories themselves aren't pieced together or aren't there. They exist. You just have to uncode that puzzle.
That's the best articulation of that feeling.
Yeah.
Because it was like the core underneath of it all. It's like, oh, these two people, they're connected. And they need to find out what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And that's like a basic log line. And then you just add, and it's like that, what did you say, distortion?
Yeah.
That's a great word for it.
Yeah, of like just taking a basic story and like kind of like...
tying a knot. Yeah, and crumbling knot, it up. Yeah, and crumbling,
like,
ooh.
And just like messing it up to the point where like, it also to some extent, like with, again, with the, like the auteurism, it's like putting, like I was just talking about with the Safdie brothers, like... visually and like with a certain degree of like sensory precision, bringing the audience into the like headspace of the protagonist.
Yeah.
And I think more so with Upstream Color for sure.
Yeah.
But that using your stylization as like almost a weapon.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I feel like in Primer, it was a lot more of like the like excitement and anticipation of the concept. And it kind of fed into that a little more. And in Upstream Color, it was definitely more of the like stylization to make you empathize with what the characters are like thinking and feeling and like really trying to communicate their emotions and like in a lot more like ambiguous and moodier way. Cause like the abstract like visuals and like cinematography in Upstream Color of like the cells and everything, like fuck, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's real good. And yeah, definitely. I love the visuals are so pretty in Upstream Color. Primer, they're good, but like it's definitely
Upstream Color was shot on a DSLR.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's cool though.
Oh yeah, it's really cool.
I like things that like surprise me about a medium that I use. It's like
it was so inspiring to see it and be like, wow, this is like such a fucking beautiful film.
Yeah,
like I can't believe it was shot on a DSLR.
But honestly, I mean, he does like a lot of like fucking like handheld and like shaky cam and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like open it wide up
and like I guess it makes
get some good lighting.
It makes sense that it's like done in a DSLR. Like I guess I'm not that surprised. I'm surprised by how good it looks.
Yeah, and I guess he learned on film, and so it's just like translating that. So it's not like he's just some kid picking up a DSLR and not having a tripod.
Yeah,
and like no color correction.
But I don't know, he emphasizes the digitality of it very, is that a word?
Yeah.
I think he emphasizes that very like tastefully and in a way that's like still visually pleasing.
Yeah, definitely.
So focusing more on specific movies, I guess we've already kind of talked this through, but Primer is fantastic.
I think it's more confusing than Upstream Color.
Really? I'd say Upstream Color is more confusing.
I think emotionally Upstream Color is more confusing, but I feel like if I just thunk a little harder, I could understand Primer.
See, like, but I feel like Upstream Color's more abstract. With Primer, there's like a really like finite story there. And like once you look at like the maps and shit of like the storyline, you're like, oh, this makes sense.
They're both stupid. Really confusing.
Yeah, they
though.
Are. They are. Like, but, no, honestly, but I'd say Primer's definitely less confusing.
Yeah.
Especially at the beginning, because like right off the bat, Upstream Color is crazy, and at the beginning of Primer, it's like this is basically like a comprehensive normal film.
Yeah, I Upstream Color is definitely more abstract, and like it, once you watch the YouTube videos of like the guy with the afro, and you're like, oh, like hypothetically, this can make sense.
Yeah,
but with Upstream Color, I feel like it's much more up to the individual, and it's more of just like what you get out of it and what you feel during the film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've talked about like subjective like connotations and stuff before, but like. Just accept like the feelings that it brings up for you and like the like what how it pertains to you, your emotions and your life, and you'll have a better viewing experience like with this type of movie for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe less so with Primer, I'd say that.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, to some extent, but like Primer's like you it wants you to follow along with it, even though like it knows it's gonna be hard.
Yeah, you can't. But it's definitely a lot more technical. Technical is such a good word for Primer.
Yeah.
I think that's the buzzword.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy, but he was a math major, so it's got to make sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense that he was a math major.
But one thing, and I think you said this in like one of the first podcasts, is that like one thing good about Primer is that it takes like a sci-fi concept and it introduces it into the world, but it doesn't bother to explain it. Like it doesn't spend time like, oh, this is the rules of the time machine and this is how we're gonna do it. And this is why it works with this jigamaboob.
It's because like, I don't care. Like I care about what the effect that it has.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, that's also maybe more just like
and like the implications.
And, like, yeah, my taste. Because I feel like I look at everything through like a more sociological and like political perspective. But like, but I think that's like, it's more rewarding to see that side of it than just like know what went into it, because that's not like the part that's going to have the greater effect on the story.
Yeah, absolutely. You really don't need to explain it, but what they did explain, what they did, like it sounded good. Like it sounded technical.
Yeah,
it sounded like
it
would work. And that's what's exciting is like, well, I like, this is like the feeling you get like reading sci-fi when you're like 11 or 12 and you're like, oh, this could work. Like
this could,
they're onto something.
Hear them out. but I think that like, I really like the idea of time travel. That's like, you have to be in the time machine for the same amount that you're trying to like go back to. And like this shitty claustrophobic box, like it's not an enjoyable time.
And it's like, it's killing you when you do it.
But like, it, like if you want to go back 6 hours, you have to sit in the box for 6 hours.
Yeah,
that's
and it's
crazy.
Like you got to plan it out.
I've never seen that in like a time travel movie. And that's a really cool concept.
That is really cool.
And yeah, just like certain moments in that movie, you're like.
Yeah. Like I think like the opening 10 minutes where it's like them like first like getting the machine up and running. And like they're being like when they do the paper things,
yeah,
and it goes over to the TV and then it goes back.
That's
such
good.
A good shot. It's such a good shot.
Yeah, it's a super enjoyable movie, and like if you haven't seen it and you like sci-fi, I'd suggest like looking at it because it's like takes like the really like really honest and like human aspects of like a more of a drama and like brings in like the technicalities of sci-fi. And like that kind of like interesting and like bizarre plot structure. So yeah, it's a great movie. And so I recently saw Upstream Color for the first time, and it was confusing, folks. I'm not gonna lie. It's a gorgeous movie though, and like it's a very emotional movie, and it's great. It was very confusing.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I feel like it's a lot more visceral. And emotive and just like a lot more empathetic, I guess, than a lot less technical. This movie, not technical at all.
Not technical.
No.
Because it doesn't explain what's happening.
It really does not. It kind of does. It kind of just shows you what's happening.
Yeah, sort of.
And then you just kind of have to watch it again and again, look at some graphs again. These ones are simpler graphs because it's just like a big circle.
However, they like... It's everything's so abstracted. It's like, it's hard to like really see the graphs and be like, that makes sense. This movie makes sense now. I watched some like explained videos afterwards, like a jackass. Cause I was just like, I need to understand this better. And I didn't, like, there were some parts of, like, some of the explanations where I'm just, like, kind of like, no.
No.
I don't think that's what that was.
I haven't seen the videos. I don't watch those videos.
Yeah. I was, like, definitely not feeling some of them.
Yeah. But I love this movie a lot. I think it's...
Yeah, it's cool for sure.
Yeah. It really makes me sad that Shane Carruth hasn't done anything since. And it makes me sad that he never made a Topiary, which was his movie that was going to come out before Upstream mm-hmm. Color, and it got canceled. But he wrote the script, and the script is, like, online. Yeah.
We should make it.
Oh, shit. We should pitch it to EIV. What if we pitch like a 3-hour long Shane Carruth script to EIV?
We're like, okay, guys, we guarantee some audience.
We made a podcast episode about it. It's going to be huge.
That's really funny.
But it really makes me sad because he's such a talented director and cinematographer. Like, well, and actor.
Yeah, he's an okay actor. I feel like he's not.
He's pretty good. He's better than like fucking a lot. Like, he's good. Like, it's not like he's bad.
Dude, okay. Also, side note, the actress who's in Upstream Color, she's in like a lot of really good stuff.
She's like, really good too.
She like picks, except she was in Pet Sematary and that movie sucked. But, like, she's in a bunch of random shitty horror movies, but she was in some, she's in Alien Covenant, which like I know people have different opinions on, but I think it is good.
I didn't like it.
Did you see fucking Prometheus?
No. But I watched a bunch of explain videos and like synops videos.
Wait, Prometheus came first.
But I watched the synops videos.
same thing.
that was like when I played Metal Gear Solid 5. Wait. And I was like, well, I watched so many like explain videos before that game came out, and I still didn't understand a goddamn thing.
Oh, I coded Possessor this week. I thought it would be really good, and it wasn't that good.
It doesn't sound good at all.
Have you seen the trailers?
No.
The trailers looked really good. Oh. It was like a sci-fi horror.
Ooh.
About like a technology that like this like terrorist or like paid terrorist organization would like be hired out to like have somebody like infect somebody else's body from like afar, and then they could like use that person to like be like a hitman in that person's body and like kill somebody else and then kill themselves.
Whoa. That's what the government I think was trying to do with acid in like the 50s.
Yeah.
That's scary. But that sounds really good.
Crazy how before the 50s drugs were just legal in this country.
And like the CIA was just like giving it to people without telling them.
That was super cash money of them. That was really cool.
But we should legalize drugs again. But we should also do like rehab and other. We need to do a lot before we get to that point, obviously. But also we should legalize all drugs.
Legalize all drugs. Legalize prostitution.
Yes. Let's just move to Amsterdam.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So side note, political side note. So for those who don't know, we record things ahead of time. I think it's pretty obvious as shown by some of the... and right now it is pre-election by a few days, and I'm very anxious. Are you very anxious?
I'm nervous. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen either. I feel like Trump's going to win.
I like my, like the nihilist in me where it's like this, the cynical, like, that says Trump's going to win. But I can't say the hopeful part of me says that Biden's, I guess.
I don't know. The thing is, either way, you know he's going to undermine the results.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly either way. Like, yeah. There's no good way it can go.
And, now. I wonder just, like, how much unrest is going to, like, happen in the next, like, week or so. Just, I think it's going to be kind of a shit show. And I'm not looking forward to it.
No, I'm not either.
I want it all to be over.
I'm not one of those accelerationists. I'm not.
No, fuck that.
they're like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump to make things worse and then revolution. Like, fuck you.
Like, yeah, that's... And from a utilitarian perspective, that doesn't make any fucking sense because you're prolonging or even, like, increasing the risk of suffering amongst other people.
It's guaranteed.
That's coming from such a point of privilege to be able to say, like, oh, yeah. Well, other people might be suffering, but I'm going to keep doing this so we can all have a better utopian future. It's like, you don't understand that people in the now are actually, like, dying because of what's happening.
That's what kind of makes me sad about, like, communism in general, is that it's like, I can't be happy now, but I'm gonna be happy in the future in this context.
No, it's, you get, that, like, utopianism, I don't think is very useful.
Yeah.
I think, like, a utilitarian view of anarcho-communism is the best way to go.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah.
I agree, though.
Yeah, I've been like reading theory and shit. I'm in it.
Before Bernie dropped out, I started reading theory, but then I just got super depressed and like stopped like reading the news and everything. Like,
yeah,
I've been trying to unplug.
Dude, when Bernie dropped, I'm not gonna get into it. Actually, I'm just.
I don't want to rehash those emotions.
We still have the Bernie sign on our door.
Corey still has a bunch of Bernie posters.
Yeah. What was so bad about
Bernie? He was really kind of moderate, honestly. He was the compromise.
Like, he's left less... He's less left than I would like him to be. Oh, but yeah. He's still, like, one, the most right candidate there is. No. One, the most left candidate there is. Also, like, the only candidate that I've really ever seen in politics who, like, hasn't changed his views, like, his entire career.
Yeah, he is probably, like, I'm not a big fan of any senators. I'm not, like, a big Nancy Pelosi kind of guy. But I like Bernie Sanders. I think he's probably one of the only parts of the American political institution that's okay.
And I mean, AOC and all of like the badasses that we love.
They're great.
Ilhan Omar said poggers. I just think that's important.
What's poggers?
Grail.
Oh no.
It's like a gamer term, but like a really ironic gamer term because it's like so dumb.
Damn. I wish I was a gamer. Ilhan Omar is from Minnesota.
She is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's from Minneapolis.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I love AOC and I want her to be president.
Me too. I hope that happens. And who knows?
It's possible.
Because then all those idiots who are like, oh, two white men I have to choose from. It's like, well, actually they have completely opposite policies and they're different. They're just different political ideologies. But they're like, no. So maybe they'll get them and that'll switch people.
Yeah, I don't know. I love AOC, and I think that
me too.
Like, it's very impressive what she's done with her career so far. Yeah. Like, she's really, like, changed things up. She's stirred the pot.
She's badass.
So, objective, did we already say this?
The objective best?
Okay. Not yet. I said for my objective best primer.
Honestly, objective primer, but subjective upstream color.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. No, yeah. That's fair.
I think... Primer, I feel like they have really different tones too, because even just like filmmaking wise, because Primer is like that gritty 16mm, it's like gorilla, and I feel like Upstream Color is a lot more polished and professional and like a real movie, but I feel like Upstream Color is a lot more emotional and it connects to your emotions a lot more, but God, you can't get better than Primer. Like Primer is just like a classic.
Yeah, no, I mean, Primer's amazing, and it's like, I'd recommend more people watch Primer than Upstream Color if you haven't seen either.
Yeah, no, definitely start with Primer to get a style.
Yeah, get the vibe, and then move on from there if you like it. I actually doubt anybody who's listened this far into the podcast hasn't watched anything from Shane Groove, but I guess if you're wanting our opinion on that, there it is. So what do you think he's trying to tell us overall?
So I really think that connection theme and that like in Primer friendship, but in Upstream Color, like relationship and love, I think is a really huge theme, and that isolation and sort of like getting too far in your head in Primer, where it's just like similar to the Safdie brothers, where it's like, you're going down a hole that you don't know where it's going to lead.
Yeah.
And like, you can make some really irresponsible decisions here that can affect shit and can destroy your personal relationships, but also the world. I think he's just really trying to communicate. I don't know.
Like just, I think you're totally right. And I just like think like the idea of like your personhood affecting like these external circumstances and like and what you can and can't control and like also just like how weaknesses fate. Yeah, fate and how weaknesses like play into a person's character, I think. And then just like, yeah, obviously like everything's fucking crazy. I think there's a huge aesthetic focus and like just the beauty of like the world around you. Beauty of natural world, 5 out of 5. Yeah. But yeah, just like like general appreciation for what makes life life.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in Upstream Color, like just like the elements of just like the sound and the water, and it's all a cycle like nature where it was like the death of the pigs and then it leads into the flowers and the,
the maggots and then the
And so the cyclical nature of life, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like the beauty in that cycle.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
But yeah, so
do you let me ask you this before we do anything else. What are some maybe esoteric or ontological or fun facts about Shane Carruth?
Do you look up just like synonyms for fun every time?
Those aren't synonyms for fun at all.
I don't know. My brain could not process the words that you just said. two brain cells. It's fine.
I can't even remember what I said.
So our fun fact of the week is that, or not week, I guess we're doing our... Well, yeah. I mean, one of our fun facts of the week. We already did one for the...
This episode's fun fact.
Yeah. This episode's fun fact is that...
It's brought to you by viewers like you.
It's brought to you from director Steven Soderbergh, who told Entertainment Weekly at one point that he viewed Shane as the illegitimate offspring of David Lynch and James Cameron, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Where did James Cameron come from? I don't really... I mean, I guess from, like, the genre.
I kind of get David Lynch, but he doesn't hold any... Like, other than, like, abstraction, it's none of David Lynch's staples that they share.
I guess that they're both weird.
Yeah, like...
I feel like he's just like, I don't understand his movies, so he's kind of like David Lynch.
Steven Soderbergh is...
Didn't he do that film on the iPhone?
He's done multiple films on iPhones. Yes, he has.
Fuck
Here's
that.
The thing. Like, his movies aren't... Aaron Brockovich is, like, good.
The Informant isn't that bad.
Contagion's decent.
Oh, yeah. It was realistic.
There's Sex, Lies, and... He did Magic Mike.
What?
That's crazy.
That's a crazy career move.
But, fucking... Wait, what was I just saying? Sex, Lies, and Videotape. And then, Unsane. That was the movie.
Oh.
That was one of the movies he did it on an iPhone 7. It literally looked so bad. Like I cannot stress enough. Like, this movie is terrible. And it's literally terrible because it was shot on an iPhone.
That's why people, like YouTubers, when they're like, just go out and shoot on your iPhone, man. You've got a camera in your pocket.
It's like, literally, it will look like shit.
Like, fuck you.
Also, that presupposes I, like, have good sound equipment, because, like, you can't use iPhone audio for a movie.
Like, sound is sometimes even more important.
Yes.
Oftentimes, I would say all the time more important than the picture. If you have shitty sound but a good picture, your film is going to be doo-doo trash. Pee-pee poo-poo.
Yeah, garbage. Pee-pee poo-poo garbage.
Yeah, and I think Primer kind of goes to show that, where it's like, it's shot pretty well. It's got the film look, but the sound is fucking garbage for a lot of it. Like, it's really hard to hear if you don't have, like, good headphones. Like, I watched it on my TV at home with my mom, which was a bad decision. And you couldn't understand half of what they were saying. And then the other half, you couldn't understand because you couldn't, like, half you couldn't hear and half you couldn't understand.
Okay, side note, Steven Soderbergh did all of the Oceans movies, like Oceans 8, Oceans...
Whoa. The original ones or the new ones?
All of them.
Whoa. Even the new woman one?
Oh, hold on, I think so.
Shouldn't that be directed by a woman?
Those Oceans
Don't you think
great.
That should be the case? If it's the woman movie?
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't either. It was directed by Gary Ross.
The woman one?
Yeah.
Damn. Dude,
he does not look like he would direct a female-centric movie.
I'd be mad if, like, I showed up on set.
It's like...
He looks like someone who would live in Miami.
Yeah, he gives me bad vibes. I don't know why.
Like, he calls everyone a girl.
Or, like doll face.
Oh, yeah.
Sweetheart.
Oh, no.
I don't know what accent that was. Was that Boston? Did I just do a Boston accent?
Fucking townie.
Like, it was more New Jersey. Dude, okay, so side note... My roommate got stuck in the elevator in our building today. It was crazy, and we had to call the firemen, and they came, and it was like fucking 10 firemen in our building, and just like me in the lobby and like with Anne on the line, and they had to like pry the doors open. It was crazy.
Well, when I walked in here, the elevator was like open and halfway up, and I was like, oh God. And so I took the stairs that were right next to the elevator that went up to the second floor, but then they just stopped.
Yeah.
And I went to one end of the hallway, no stairs. I went to the other end of the hallway, no stairs. And I thought I was going psychotic. I thought I had a psychotic
breeze. Yeah, so in our building, if you like enter the main entrance, there's no way to get to the third floor unless you take the elevator. But there's like two side entrances that can lead you from the first floor to the third floor, but you can't get to the second floor from them.
I don't understand. I really don't. It made me confused.
It's honestly insane.
And then my glasses were all fogging up because it's cold outside and...
It's great.
It's embarrassing.
It was snowing today in Boston.
It snowed. It was so cozy and it looked so pretty.
It was really pretty.
It really was.
I don't think I've ever seen it snow before Halloween in Boston.
Not in Boston, I haven't. In Minnesota, it snowed before Halloween before. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it definitely has in Vermont too. You know what else I've never seen here? It's two pretty best friends.
Who? Oh!
Got it.
I was waiting for
it. It came to me.
I was waiting for it. Last minute. At the very last minute.
I'm so proud. I didn't even do it in the voice. I couldn't muster it.
Do it again. You can do it again. We can cut it.
You get it. I had never seen two pretty best friends. Oh, God. Dude, like, what do you think that guy's doing with all of his newfound fame?
Spending a lot of money, probably.
He looks crazy.
I actually don't know what you're talking about. I lied before. If I gave you the impression that I... What's it called? Let me look this up.
I ain't never seen two pretty best friends.
I ain't never seen two...
He, like, got famous on TikTok because he looks fucking horrifying.
Oh my God. Okay, I've never seen this guy, but I know the genre of TikTok, and I love that
vibe,
genre.
But it's so chaotic, holy shit. But now people are like rickrolling with it.
That's great.
Like I'll see like really, really long videos, and at the end, like the punchline will be like, and then he said, I never seen two pretty best friends.
I love that.
One of them's always gotta be ugly. okay, I feel like with that we can end the podcast. Yeah.
Well, is he? What's his upcoming shit? Because I know he was doing not a topiary, but the oil one, the oil baron on the sea.
I don't know about that. What I saw, it was an article from 2020 that said that he's quitting filmmaking.
Oh, really?
It said he's gonna stay an actor, but not a filmmaker.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. But so he said, like, he was, like, producing a movie by a new up-and-coming director that he really liked called The Wanting Mare, which was released in May of 2020. I don't know where to find it.
Maybe we should code it for the genome.
Yes.
That actually makes me super sad. Like, is he serious about that?
Tarantino says he's quitting filmmaking like every other year.
He says it after 10 movies. And he's like, it's my eighth one, guys. It's almost there. So does he have one more left now?
Tarantino?
Yeah. We can't talk about him.
That's for another time.
But I think he was previously making a movie about fucking some oil cargo ship on the ocean, and it was about like ocean liners. And it had for a bit I think that who's the kid who played Spider-Man?
Tom Holland?
Yeah, it had Tom Holland in it.
That's interesting.
But then I think he something happened.
Here's the thing. I have a pretty bad fear of boats, so I can't really watch boat movies.
That's a shame. Well, it's not getting made, so... But I've read, like, half of a topiary, and I really want to read a topiary. Like, I was going to do that today during my work shift, but I discovered that I had an exam due yesterday I just didn't know about.
Graham, Shane Cruth was canceled.
No!
I hope somebody listens to the podcast and gets to this point.
What?
Wait.
What he do?
I saw something about domestic violence. Oh, shit. Dude, yeah, he abused his ex-girlfriend.
How bad?
No, she got a restraining order on him. He jumped on her in a hotel room and strangled her until she struggled to breathe.
Oh, man. That's bad.
And he continues to harass her to this day. That's a bummer. Really regretting this podcast choice now.
Oops. No, we didn't know.
Sorry, guys.
And I feel like you can still enjoy his film. It's like Roman Polanski, where it's like, as a human, he might be bad.
I don't know. I kind of support separating the art from, I support not separating the art from the artist. And
I feel like kind of you have to.
It depends it's case by case, I'd say, yeah, for sure. But
like with Woody Allen.
Oh,
like,
this is really unfortunate. This is, we should research if they're canceled before we do the podcast.
We do a little more research.
We're like, hometown. What school did they go to?
Oh, choked his ex-wife.
Oh, he threatened to kill her.
Oh, man.
That wasn't an email. Like, it was a real thing that they found in an investigation. God.
And this is, like, recent, too. This is July 27th of this year.
Yeah. Dude, he does not look well.
I want to see him.
Wait, look at this photo.
Is it this one at the top of the... I'm looking at the same one.
Yeah, it looks like he dyed his hair very dark because he was going very gray.
He would have looked good gray. He would have looked like a distinguished gray. He looked really good in Upstream Color.
You know, in Always Sunny, when Dennis, like, dyes his hair with, like... Or no, I'm thinking of The Office, when Creed dyes his hair with, like, printer dye. That's what he looks like right now.
It's, like, way too black. Yeah. It's, like, jet black.
It's, like, that's definitely not what your hair looks like at this moment.
And I feel like he's gonna have, like, he's on the verge of wrinkles, and, like, his crow's feet
starting to look not good.
Ooh, like, his face is getting tight.
He's older than my parents.
How old is he?
I said I was born in 72.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's older than both my parents. My dad was born in 71 and my mom in 66. Controversial!
So he's not older than your dad.
Oh, no, wait, he's younger than both of my parents. I'm stupid.
That's so funny. Okay.
Yeah, so he's
That's unfortunate.
Oh, man. Fuck! Fuck!
Sorry, guys.
Well, that's a sad note to end on, honestly. I'm really disappointed.
I hope this doesn't bode... I feel like this doesn't bode well for the election. I don't know why, but...
this is the beginning of our bad luck.
This is an omen. Like, this is the beginning of our bad luck. I feel like it's just been one
the continuing
stream of bad luck for the last year for everybody. Yeah, so basically... I guess pirate his movies.
I did. I did both of them.
I did too.
I downloaded a 7 gigabyte version of Primer.
So when you pirate his movies, don't feel bad about it because you're taking money away from him.
Yeah. And also, when you pirate any movie, don't feel bad.
Okay, well, I feel like this kind of makes sense because, like, only, like, a literal psychotic person would take on that many roles on a film.
Yeah, it makes sense that he's, like, majorly fucked in the head. Yeah. And, like, he's got shit.
Well, I'd like to know more about,
and, like... well, then that makes him, like, honestly, I would add on to, like, what he's trying to tell us, like somewhat of the Charlie Kaufman sense of, like, he's working shit out.
Yeah.
Especially in Upstream Color, he's just like, this is my fucked up relationship shit. Like,
yeah, but, like, also, like... Like, fuck you if you're, like, an abuser, but...
No, yeah, fuck him.
But, like, yeah, that sucks, but I hope he gets help, maybe, and,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
Fuck.
I'd like to know more about his, like, childhood and history, then. Like,
I bet it was tumultuous.
There was some turmoil there. Tie-in to the Safdie episode.
If you watched last episode, here's a little Easter egg for you.
Okay. That really, really depressing note, we will wrap this up. Follow me on Instagram at stella.drewss and follow Graham.
At @f_insta_graham.
And follow Pods on Instagram and Twitter if you want to get more updates about our podcast and more podcasts on the platform, more podcasts like ours, more podcasts not like ours if you hate us, which is valid. We're polarizing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If that's the case... Follow Pods on Instagram at pods.emerson and Twitter at pods_emerson.
Bye.
Bye. We've gotten really good at our in-sync buys.